Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2213 with a release date of Friday, March 27th, 2020. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A virtual ham radio workshop goes worldwide. A message of hope from above. And back to school with CW. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2213 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Bloomington, Indiana, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
We open this week's newscast with a story of amateur radio triumph. With so many ham fests and workshops being put on the back burner because of the coronavirus, a major gathering scheduled for a Pennsylvania college campus managed to happen anyway, just a bit differently. Paul Brown, WD9GCO, tells us how planners pulled it off.
The problem-solving nature of the amateur radio hobby brought out the best in organizers of the recent HamSci workshop, which was facing cancellation or postponement as a result of COVID-19 concerns. Instead of that happening, however, the conference went forward as scheduled on March 20th and 21st. Organizers led by Nathaniel Frisell, W2NAF, moved the event to the web-based conference platform Zoom. Presenters spoke from their home or alone on the college or university campus, with Nathaniel as master of ceremonies, introducing each to the virtual audience. Those wishing to, quote, attend as active participants needed to register using a web page that went live a week before the event. Magic happened, as only it can in radio amateur style. Attendees were now participating not only from the U.S., but also from overseas. The presentations also had greater visual clarity for many. Originally, around 100 attendees were expected at the University of Scranton in Pennsylvania, but via the virtualization of the event, 290 attended from 24 different countries during the 2 days. The event covered a range of projects where ham radio and citizen scientists are coming together with, quote, real scientists to provide a range of data for analysis about propagation and space weather that would not be possible relying solely on universities and government organizations. Nathaniel told Amateur Radio Newsline by email that it had gone very well and was, in fact, a pleasure to be able to hold the workshop even in these difficult times. He also said next year's conference would be a hybrid with both local attendees and remote attendees, and even presenters via Zoom. The experience this year has shown how much interest there is from around the world. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
The amateur radio ingenuity continues with a reimagining of the canceled Dayton Hamvention, which has now come back to life as the Hamvention QSO Party. Hamvention organizers and the Worldwide Radio Operators Foundation have set a 12-hour event from 1200 to 2400 UTC on May 16 for sideband and CW operation. For details on bands, certificates being awarded, and other relevant information, visit wworof.org. See you on the air. Meanwhile, Ham Radio is also offering some encouragement from the skies. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, explains.
As the world below wrestles with a deadly pandemic, a message of hope and concern is being delivered from above, from an amateur radio satellite using Automatic Packet Reporting System, or APRS. The satellite is Leipan A2, and the text message it's sending on 2 meters says simply this, and I quote, "Stay healthy, stay at home, hashtag Lawan Corona," end quote. News of the message was posted on the website of Indonesia's Amateur Radio Society, ORARI, ARARI. Hams throughout Indonesia who have their APRS-equipped HTs tuned to the frequency of 145.825 have received the message. The message is a plea from Sony Dwihasno, a researcher at the Center for Satellite Technology. He said it's being sent in support of government policy encouraging social distancing. The Indonesian microsatellite has been in orbit since 2015. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
School was back in session on Monday, March 23rd, and if the students were surprised to find their lessons entirely in some mysterious code, well, that was exactly the point. The Long Island CW Club began offering free Morse code instruction online to youngsters kept at home by the current pandemic. The half-hour CW lessons were given by Rob Zargas, K2MZ, in separate sessions for elementary school students, middle schoolers, and teens in high school, with all students getting their parents' permission, of course. Responding to the current pandemic, Region 1 of the IARU has asked national radio societies that promote field days to consider how and whether to proceed with these events, which bring radio amateurs of all ages together for major operating activity. The IARU has already announced it will not sponsor the Region 1 HFCW field day held in June. Meanwhile, COVID-19 concerns have prompted organizers to postpone what would have been the first IARU Region 3 Yoda Camp. Plans were for the Radio Amateur Society of Thailand to host it in October. The postponement was announced by Wisnu YB0AZ, IARU Region 3 chairman. Activations on the International Marconi Day have also been called off. The worldwide celebration marking the birthday of Guglielmo Marconi was to be hosted on the 25th of April by the Cornish Radio Amateur Club, GX4CRC, with participation from hams worldwide. Here in the U.S., the canceled Hamvention in Xenia is just the tip of the Hamfest iceberg. Nearby hamfests in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana have all been canceled, just one region of many affected in the nation. With a partial list of what's not going to happen, here's Jack Parker, W8ISH.
The Wabash Valley ARC in western Indiana was the first to pull the plug 2 weeks ago as news of the coronavirus spread across the nation. Closer to home, plans for the 37th annual Columbus, Indiana Hamfest was next to be axed in lieu of their April 4th gathering. Event coordinator Bruce Tisdale, K9ICP, broadcast that decision last week during a Saturday morning Mid-State Amateur Radio Club net.
We had decided to cancel the Columbus Hamfest that we were participating with the Columbus Amateur Radio Club in putting on this year. We put a lot of work into trying to get it put together, but hopefully that will go on next year.
Regular ham club meetings and VE sessions have also been canceled as well. But not to be deterred, Mid-State Amateur Radio Club officers in Johnson County decided to have an on-the-air club meeting last weekend and to social distance via ham radio using their club repeater. The Mid-State ARC normally meets the third Saturday of each month. Due to the pandemic restrictions, they were forced to cancel the March meeting and try a Bring Your Own Donuts and Coffee Saturday Morning Club net. For now, hamfests scheduled into early May have been canceled across the region. Many organizers are hoping the pandemic will pass so amateur radio operators can reduce the social distancing and again come together by this June to once again enjoy crowded hamfests. For Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
Amateur Radio Newsline also sends its condolences to the ham radio community in the Philippines, where COVID-19 has claimed the life of one prominent amateur. Billy Sanson, 4I1AFT, became a silent key on March 23rd. We remind listeners that Newsline continues its search of a talented young amateur radio operator to honor in the spirit of our late co-founder, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. Bill established the Young Ham of the Year Award in 1986. Nominations are being accepted for talented, community-conscious amateurs 18 or younger living in the U.S. or Canada. Nominations are due by May 31. For details and this year's nomination form, visit our website at arnewsline.org. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the KE0MQF repeater in Sikeston, Missouri on Mondays at 7 p.m. local time. There's some celebrating going on in Germany right now as operators at one contest station mark a major DXCC achievement, all using FT8. Ed Durant, DD5 LP, has that story.
Is there anyone out there who doesn't have a goal to be in the DXCC club? After cancelled plans and an enthusiastic restart of their activation, the German contest station Delta Radio 4 Kilo got the job done. On the 21st of March, operators logged their 100th DXCC entity, having made a total of 2,020 QSOs in all on FT8. The station reports on its page on QRZ.com that with operators taking only an 18-hour break, the station realised its goal with 50 watts of power, a long-wire antenna and a total of 7 days and 7.5 hours on the air. A posting on the page read, in part, quote, "You can have different opinions about FT8, but the DXCC is always a milestone that has to be worked out. Every ham can be proud if he has reached this goal, no matter in which mode of operation," end quote. Congratulations to Delta Radio 4 Kilo. If you are among those to make contact with this station, please note that the special event QSLs will be mailed in the next few weeks. Watch for uploads of confirmed contacts as well on EQSL, LOTW and Clublog. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
The VP2VB de-expedition is over, but its legacy continues, as we hear from Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
The spotting networks and the bands themselves were busy for the 6 days through to March 16th during a special memorial de-expedition held in memory of British sailor and adventurer Danny Wyle, Victor Papa 2, Victor Bravo. The activation from the British Virgin Islands carried Denny's call sign and traced his original route aboard his series of sailing vessels carrying the well-known Yasmi name. His activities on the air and on the water eventually provided the impetus to create the non-profit Yasmi Foundation, which provides financial support to educational and scientific ventures related to amateur radio. This month's activation on Anegada Island marked the return of his call sign to the air for the first time in more than 60 years. As noted on the de-expedition's page on QRZ.com, Danny was a true adventurer, and the spirit continues. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
A radio operator described as one of the originals at Arizona's annual Quartz Fest has become a silent key. Dave Parks, WB8ODF, has that report.
Cliff Haycock, KD4ZBP, a stalwart in the Quartz Fest gathering held each year in Arizona, has become a silent key. Cliff died on March 18th. A former resident of New Jersey and later of Florida, Cliff and his wife Virginia, KE4VRW, moved west and became avid RV enthusiasts, eventually settling in Tucson, Arizona. According to his QRZ.com page, he not only joined the Escapees RV Club, but was the founder of the group's amateur radio Birds of a Feather Club. He was also editor for more than 2 decades of the radio group's newsletter, the SKP Wave. Cliff and his wife were organizers of Quartz Fest from 2008 and 2010. One amateur on the Quartz Fest Facebook page stated in a public posting, quote, "Quartz Fest is Quartz Fest because of Cliff and Virginia Forbes Haycock," end quote. A previous post on the page noted that Cliff had been admitted in early March to the VA hospital in Tucson with heart failure. Cliff Haycock was 94. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
Officials in the UK are taking a second and maybe even a third look at electromagnetic field exposure and its hazards. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has that report.
A briefing paper from the Radio Society of Great Britain is proposing to introduce new licensing conditions for stations operating with more than 10 watts EIRP following an Ofcom consultation on the 21st of February on electromagnetic field exposure, or EMF. These measures are being proposed to require compliance with international guidelines. The RSGB has said that the paper is of concern to all UK amateurs and is designed to protect the public from exposure to EMF. There'll be additional study and writings, however, and the Society continues to work on a more detailed response in advance of the deadline of the 15th of May, when the consultation ends. Ofcom is expected to make a policy statement sometime afterwards. In its briefing, the Society adds, quote, "This is not entirely new, as the current amateur license conditions already require that we take safety precautions against RF radiation in line with Public Health England recommendations," end of quote. The briefing paper is available on the RSGB website at rsgb.org/emc-papers. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In Germany, a special event station is honoring the creation of a society representing many of that nation's hams. Here's Ed Durant, DD5LP.
German Special Event Station, the short-lived Radiosportverband, RSV-EV, was founded as East Germany's first free national amateur radio society on March 24, 1990. It existed until being absorbed by the DARC later in the same year and was needed in order to fuse both halves of Germany's radio amateurs. The special event station DM30RSV with the special DOK region code of 30RSV commemorates the fusion 30 years ago and is on the air between March 24th and October 30th. QSL via the Bureau to DK5ON or use Club Log or Logbook of the World. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Finally, you think you've got Hamfest sticker shock? For this week's final story, we hear about a high-flying shack with a constellation, a real constellation, of costs.
Outfitting a shack isn't cheap. There's the rig, the amp, the power supply, the antenna, and those are just the basics, which, let's face it, almost no enthusiastic ham can bear to stop at. So what happens if your shack happens to be out in space? A satellite operator known as OneWeb is facing a reportedly serious cash crunch as it tries to take on other hopeful low-Earth orbit communications satellite constellations, including Starlink by SpaceX and Project Kuiper by Amazon. The London-based OneWeb is now considering bankruptcy protection, according to a report this month in Bloomberg. The company has launched 74 satellites and was hoping, ultimately, for a full constellation of 650. The constellations are competing to provide broadband internet services around the world. Startup costs are understandably steep, certainly more than your average terrestrial ham shack, rising into the tens of billions of dollars. According to an article in the Teslarati newsletter, the OneWeb project is struggling financially and layoffs could follow. So if you think the costs at your QTH are sky high, look up past the clouds and be glad that at least your shack and budget are somewhat grounded here on Earth. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ralph Squillace, KK6ITB.
With thanks to Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, Bloomberg News, Cornish Radio Amateur Club, David Bihar, K7DB, Facebook, IARU Region 1, Nathaniel Frisell, W2NAF, QRZ.com, Radio Society of Great Britain, ShortwaveRadio.de, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Teslarati, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, WTWW Shortwave, and your listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2020, all rights reserved.